Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're exploring the economics of the global art market and delving into a sector which has traditionally been rather difficult to quantify. With the help of a new research project produced for UBS and Art Basel by the cultural economist Dr. Claire McAndrew, we'll try and paint a picture of the art market with all its complexities. We'll also explore some of the sector-specific findings of that report and put the art market in a wider context, including considering what an investment in art can deliver beyond the conventions of the usual asset classes. We start with Adrian Zurcher with UBS CIO in Hong Kong. He's head of asset allocation in Asia. So, UBS has launched a report with Art Basel about the economics of the art market. Let's talk a little about its ambitions and findings. What's the starting point here? Adrian explains that and also outlines the importance of working with cultural economist Claire McAndrew, the report's author.
We try to combine what we know best in the chief investment office of UBS, and that global markets. We know our clients quite well. We do a lot of studies on high-net-worth individuals and ultra-high-net-worth individuals. And Claire really brings the expertise of auctions, the art market, how transactions are happening, where they are happening. And we try to combine her strength and our reach, our global reach in this art market report.
Adrian mentioned Claire McAndrew, the report's author, who joined up with Art Basel last year. Let's hear a little from her next about the ambitions of the report and how her background has shaped her work in this space.
I suppose it's to continue the kind of global research I've been doing to provide some benchmark statistics for the market at a very macro level to see the size and the distribution of sales all around the world. I've been doing this for the last kind of more or less 10 years producing these global studies, and it's important for governments and for all kinds of stakeholders to have some idea of the approximate size and of sales and how the market's faring. But I was able to kind of, I suppose, dig a little bit deeper this year in the new report. We did a little bit more on the dealer sector and the online sector and the study with UBS as well on collectors. Even though it's just a snapshot of one regional group, it was something new because they're a very difficult group to kind of to survey. So the ambition was to keep up measuring the market and getting some sense of how it's faring, and to just get a little bit deeper into sectors and areas that haven't been covered.
The report itself aims to be the definitive compilation of sales data in the art market worldwide. This has long been a rather tricky thing to quantify. So what do the findings reveal? Any surprises? Or did it largely conform with Claire's expectations?
Travelling around for the year and talking to people, it wasn't really surprising that the market declined. But I was surprised, and it kind of confirmed what I saw when the global picture was quite uncertain and negative in 2009, that the private sector tends to do much better in these kind of uncertain and declining markets. So the dealer share last year was 57%, and the last time it was that high was back in 2009. And I think there is this tendency in these kind of difficult or uncertain markets for sellers to hold back at auction, because obviously if there's a lot of ample demand around, you can kind of go higher than ever. But if you're at risk of something not selling or selling for a lower than expected price, that's a very visible and obvious kind of place for that to happen. So people tend to veer into the private sector. So that was kind of, it wasn't so much a surprise, but it was interesting that was confirmed again, that in these declining markets, the private sector does much better than the auction sector.
Charlotte Burns, senior editor of In Other Words, an editorial project by Art Agency Partners, helps us to track the performance of the art market back to the start of 2016.
What we're seeing there is that when great things are coming to market, there's huge demand for them. The Impressionist and Modern sales in London in February did really well across the board, and people felt quite buoyed by the results. And with the contemporary and with both sectors, 2016 began with a little bit of kind of uncertainty. I think people were worried about challenges to international markets, for commodities, for fuel. There was turbulence in national economies. And I think people took a kind of wait and see approach at the beginning of 2016, which led to kind of sluggish offerings, buying that was patchy, and it became a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy that people were waiting to see how the market would do, so the market slowed down while people waited. Then by the end of the year, things closed with more conviction. There were some good results in November's sales in New York, and people in Miami reported that things were selling, so there was a consistency returning to the market. It seemed that there had been something of a slowdown and that it was managed quite well. I think expectations were lowered a little bit. I think things were probably priced a little bit better. And I think people had been expecting a sort of catastrophic drop-off, and that didn't happen. And I think that shows a maturity in the market that it managed this moment quite well.
Let's touch next on exactly why art matters so much to UBS. We've tracked this, particularly through its relationship with Art Basel globally, before on the programme. But it's long been very striking that this seems to be something that runs a lot deeper than mere investment strategy. Adrian Zercher takes up the story.
We at UBS don't think that art is a specific investment class by itself. We do think it has value, of course, and it has a particular value when it comes to emotion. So we rather would recommend clients looking at art from a perspective of passion, rather than a pure investment. But it's a very important part for our clients because they also are proud to collect and buy art globally, and we want to be a part of it. We want to be a partner in beyond just the financial needs.
We also asked Adrian to comment on the macro level of how this all corresponds to global wealth.
Yes, for example, we conducted, together with Claire and her team, a study on high-net-worth individuals in the U.S., of around 2000, to really also determine their participation and their preferences in the art market. That's one way we do it. And then in terms of more the broad macroeconomic picture, of course, if global economy is doing well, we definitely can draw some parallels to the art market. It still has its own dynamics, but in general, if you look at after the financial crisis, you definitely could see the impact on the global economy and in some of the developments of the art markets. 2016 also has been, in terms at least of sales for the art market, more a difficult year, and so it has been for the global economy. The positive side is we actually do see at the end of 2016, beginning of 2017, a bit more dynamic global economy. We see a pickup, we see inflation coming back, and that should bode quite well for the global economy, for confidence, for new investments and spending. And could have a positive impact also for the art market in 2017.
Are the themes shaping the art market the same as those shaping the wider macroeconomic picture, or is art in some respects a case apart? Charlotte Burns, again.
Art is, it can hold value. If you're buying works that are known to be important by significant figures in art history, then it will hold money in a way that other industries may not. That the turbulence of those industries may go up and down, may be less predictable, whereas art can hold it. And if you spend a certain amount of money and you set a record price, then you have set that price, and it can't be argued with by anybody because it exists. So nobody can tell you that X painting by Y artist isn't worth that until the time comes when you want to resell it, in which case the market will again see the value. But at that moment, that is the price. And that doesn't really happen with anything else. Other things can fluctuate up and down, you know, a minute later, whereas the art market doesn't really do that. It moves a little bit more slowly. It's less liquid. And the other thing with art is that it's international. So, you know, you can buy in one currency and sell in another. So you can use problems of one industry to your advantage if you're working in the art world. And, you know, right now there's a lot of anxiety in the world about what's going to happen with economies, what's going to happen politically. And what we're seeing is that that's currently strengthening the market. You know, the people who are probably going to be affected by some of the changes in England with Brexit or in America with the new Republican president aren't necessarily the people who are buying art. It's more likely to be the working and middle classes. So the art market is distinct because it doesn't affect every sector of the economy. It doesn't affect every class of people because the people who buy art necessarily have more money to spend than everybody else.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll take a global view of the macroeconomic trends shaping the real world as well as the art world. What about a global view of macroeconomic trends in the real world as opposed to the art world of what affected wealthy individuals worldwide across 2016? Claire McAndrews tracked this for many years across sectors, as she explains.
Years back I tracked this, we used to look at how different sectors and things performed versus financial indices and stuff. And I mean, sometimes it was very not correlated at all with the financial markets and the economic indicators. But what I find is overall, it tends to be things like how financial confidence, if you track things like that, how rich people think they're going to be in the next year or so, that tends to drive these kind of discretionary high-end purchases, like in all luxury industries and in the art market as well. So I think it does, certainly on a big level, on the macro level, it does tend to kind of follow what's happening in the economy sometimes with a little bit of a lag. The ultra high-end people are also a little bit insulated in some ways from some of the general trends that are happening. And, you know, some of the kind of growing wealth inequality and stuff has actually definitely boosted sales at the high end. But I think, there is definite connections, certainly at a macro level. But if you look at individual sectors of the market, you know, they can, even with each other, they don't kind of correlate with each other in many cases. So it's not necessarily a straightforward, it doesn't follow the economy in a straightforward way. But I think spending plans and selling plans do tend to follow the sentiment and the general confidence.
Adrian Zerker picks up on this top-end sector.
If you look at our billionaires study, I mean, we're still adding billionaires every year, and particularly in Asia. Every third day, there's a new US dollar billionaire created. So, and I think that keeps this market quite insulated. And I imagine that, as Claire said, that some other parts of the market are more dependent on what's going on, at least in the perception on how wealthy the people will be and are.
Adrian also provides an outlook of global wealth for the coming year. Is confidence robust, particularly amongst the high net worth sector?
So we do this quarterly survey in the US on the high net worth individual side. And we just published the latest report a couple of weeks ago. And it's actually the strongest confidence, also definitely boosted by the Trump administration and the plans of more fiscal stimulus and maybe bring some jobs more back to the US, that has at least confidence among the investors boosted. So, and we also can see it on the financial markets that run quite a lot. There's of course also a different side to this confidence when we talk about more trade protectionism, which could impact the art market in the future. But I would at least say from a sentiment perspective and also from a macroeconomic environment, 2017 looks definitely more robust than 2016.
Next on the programme, we asked Claire McAndrew to talk more generally about Art Basel and this amazing journey from relatively humble roots into the great global force we all recognise today.
It's been really interesting because they have such a global perspective, having the three big fairs, you know, kind of which cover the main kind of pockets of the market, really, you know, Europe and America and Asia. And it was really, really valuable to have them on board for this from a survey perspective. I mean, I would have maybe sent the survey out to their exhibitors and stuff before, but they really pushed the survey, so we got better response rates than we've ever got before. And I was able to dig a little bit deeper in the survey itself and ask questions and get responses, which I didn't have before. And of course, I back all these things up with a lot of interviews as well, so they were very helpful that way. So while it was kind of the key focus, as I was saying, was to keep up the consistency, it has really added a lot of depth to the research from being involved with such a big, important kind of global phenomenon like Basel. It's been really good to have that underlying support.
On the theme of confidence in the vibrancy of the space going forward, despite some volatility and contractions elsewhere, where does Charlotte Byrne stand? Does the sector remain dynamic and exciting? Growth is ahead, long term for sure, she explains.
The art market has established itself as an industry that's increasingly becoming professionalised. And so if you're talking about the long term, I don't think there's anything in the future other than growth, because there is more and more interest in art generally. There are more museums in the world. There's more culture. There's, you know, the generation growing up is a visual generation through social media apps like Instagram. And people see the world in a visual way these days. So I don't think that art is going to become less important in the fabric of people's lives And so therefore, the art market, I think, will continue to grow. In the short term, the concern is that it becomes top heavy, and that mirrors the economic trends that we're seeing. If all of the money in the art market continues to go to the top, to those names that are tried and tested, and to those artists that we know have value, like Picasso, then that's where the problem lies.
Does Claire McAndrew retain her confidence going forward in the robustness of the space, despite some volatility and the contractions we've seen more recently? Did this come through from the collectors, exhibitors, friends from Art Basel that she talked to whilst compiling the report?
There's worries. People are worried about, you know, small galleries and things like that and how they're going to survive. And that's really important for the infrastructure overall, you know, how artists are doing, how small galleries are doing. That even affects businesses, the high end. And the high end businesses I was talking to recognize that. So they're not immune from those worries. But, I mean, I think from a demand perspective, it's still really strong. And, I mean, certainly this region, the Asia-Pacific region, just all the wealth dynamics and the kind of forecast going forward from in this area point to, you know, more millionaires, more upper middle class, if you like, wealth expansion. And those things are really important. They really give the fundamentals for a strong potential for the art market. So there's, you know, there's things that need to develop, obviously, more, you know, gallery sales and the fairs are really important for helping people become confident in galleries, because it's a kind of a newer thing in China to you know, buy from a gallery. People tend to stick to the auction sector quite a bit, and a lot of artists even go directly to the auction sector. So it's the fairs really help, kind of, they're like a stamp of approval for people, and they get people more familiar with galleries. But certainly from a demand perspective, I think for the medium term, it still is a very positive picture.
And that's Claire McAndrew, bringing us to the end of this 129th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in a fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.